and she can't figure out why she's throwing up all the time and her hair's falling out. First time I've ever met this woman. Tells me she's trying to murder someone.
Talking about this a long time.
We've been talking about it. Hopefully it turns into something. Just have some fun.
Cheers, sir.
Cheers.
To a long and
long beer.
Well, that too. A long and prosperous health of our podcast. And Scofflaw. Thank you.
And Scofflaw.
To our official, kind and incredibly trusting sponsors. Scofflaw. I wrote down my introduction for you.
Are you going to sound like a robot reading it?
Maybe. I've been watching a lot of Jeff Ross.
Oh, man, roast. Don't roast me.
It's going to be a roast.
I mean, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit doing hair after this.
Oh, man. You just have such a tough exterior. So this is the salon... No, this... I can't even get it right.
Yeah, right. Start over.
I did have a shot. So this is... This salon... All right. Yeah, I can't say it like that.
Welcome
so,
to the salon.
Oh, we should probably shut that door.
Yeah. Right.
There we go. This is what will be known as...
This Salon Life. Yes.
This Salon Life. A play on, of course, This American Life, a podcast geared towards storytelling. So we ripped it off, and it's going to be a couple of hairdressers joined by a fellow hairdresser every podcast telling their craziest client story.
Because we've all had crazy clients and crazy interactions with people, mostly on the daily. But
yes,
there's some great cases out there that we've heard, and we stand next to each other, you know, 5 days a week inside the salon. We were always talking about doing a podcast, so thought it'd be fun.
This is it. We listen to a lot of podcasts.
We do.
Done a lot of studying, a lot of practicing, a lot of drinking.
We just figured out how to turn microphones on.
I looked up how to do a podcast last night.
And, a lot of prep work.
And figured out how to use two mics at the same time. Literally, as we began recording. Yeah, so we have an official sponsor. Actually, probably unofficial. Unofficial sponsor.
Unofficially sponsored by Scofflaw Brewing.
Before we even started.
Yeah.
I don't know how we did it.
Yeah, just telling people we're doing a podcast for months on end, and now we're finally getting around to do it. So
we locked it down. So the idea is, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get a couple of guests on to hear their stories, and we'll all gather around and we'll share a few drinks, get a little loosey-goosey, and share with you some of our stories. And hopefully we can go unedited. I would really like to do this.
Yeah. I mean, we're all adults. And it's like, you know, I've been in the industry for, I don't know, like 14 or 15 years, and finding motivation to stay happy with any job for that long, I mean, it involves a lot of humor. So I don't take myself too seriously. I don't think Chris takes himself too seriously. No. So hopefully it'll be a good time and some laughs in the way. But
I think we'll have a good time, man. I think we have something.
I do too.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We've been typing it up.
We sure have.
We got an Instagram. We got the whole salon excited about it. They actually were really wanting to watch live, but
We don't have internet. This salon's like 1994 in here, but that's good on a lot of occasions.
Right. Luckily, everyone has their own personal devices. So yeah, we will go ahead and get into my notes. Just to kind of get everyone caught up, this is the intro podcast, so it's just going to be the two of us sharing a little bit about ourselves and a little bit of our background and some of our surroundings. The setting is Bespoke Studios.
It's really Bespoke Salon.
Bespoke Salon. The break room, which is where all the fun conversations happen in most salons.
Right, so currently we're sitting in a, I don't know, 15 by 12 foot room, salmon in color. Some laundry that needs to be done. Some garbage that needs to be taken out. And a picture of Johnny Depp.
Sauvage commercial.
Sauvage commercial on the wall.
Hopefully we'll get Lindsay on, maybe Becky to share that story.
Right.
We got a fridge, like most salons. It's actually a nice sized fridge.
Full size.
Fridge. Full of Scofflaw.
Scofflaw beer.
Cheers to that.
Dink.
We got some eggs in a Ziploc bag behind us. A microwave set on 4 seconds. Probably smells like salmon from Hiro. We did have our washer and dryer going, but we turned it off for podcast purposes. We have our whiteboard of nothing. Electrical, the cubbies. Everyone's got to have a cubby. And as aforementioned, trash. Which we're going to take it out.
We're
Don't worry.
It out.
Don't worry, Becky. And then, of course, our alcohol. Our setup. We got two mics and a Mac. It's pretty basic. Pretty simple. Behind us, we have... what are these called? A hooded...
That is a hooded dryer.
Hooded shrines.
It's your first day?
Oh my god. A little bit tipsy. I'm also pretty hopped up on smart pills. I don't know if you're familiar with Alpha Brain, but I can't afford Alpha Brain, so I got the Whole Foods.
I can't afford Whole Foods.
Oh my
so
god.
So I got the Trader Joe's version.
So I took some of those. I took 3 of them, and I don't know what Coke feels like, but I'm pretty sure this is the next best thing. All right, maybe we can get them as a sponsor. All right, so yes, so we got the setting, intro music. I'll figure that out as we do the editing. Brief introductions. So, of course,
I was told I had to go first, and we're going to introduce each other. Describe personalities, I'm assuming.
Yeah, because
get to know
it's
the
no fun
to
yourself.
Host. No.
Yeah.
No. So I'm sitting across this little aluminum table from IKEA, probably, from Chris. I've known Chris for 8 years? More. Maybe...
2009?
9 years.
9 years.
He has not gotten any faster at cutting hair than when he first started. He's, as I refer to lovingly, snail trails. He bucks an hour and a half, takes two. he still runs behind daily. Fantastic hair cutter. I enjoy working next to him. You know, it often sounds like we're disagreeing and arguing, but usually we're saying the same thing in just different ways. And I enjoy him.
Please tell me that's not it.
That is all that I have
about
you.
Say something mean.
I called you snail trail. Snail trail.
It's not
mean. How about it? Go for it.
Oh, my
God. See what the mean one is.
Oh, my God. I'm going to sound like a real asshole.
Go for it.
I wrote this morning over my breakfast. Like I said, I've been watching a lot of roast battles, so I felt really inspired. I wanted to give them a good picture. I wanted to paint a picture of the man we know and love as Zach. And I'm not going to say your last name. Okay, Zach, a.k.a. Old Man... Oh, Old Man Zach. We'll just leave it
Old Man Zach.
Okay, so old man Zach is a perfect example why you should never judge a book by its cover. Looking at him, you wouldn't think he had an ounce of style in his oversized dad body. Oh, sorry, off to a good start. He wears tight little skinny jeans. Although I'm not sure if they were meant to be that tight. Maybe they shrank from the wash, or maybe he expanded from the drinking. His shirts have the same problem. Although I think it's just they don't make shirts his size where he shops. It's called Big and Tall Zach. When I say oversized, I mean he's huge. Larger than necessary by any human standards. And his head. He has spat beer all over himself. And his head. His great big dumb head. Dumb? Those are his words, mind you. Or is it your wife's?
It's my wife's.
Okay, his wife's words. His great big dumb head. It's so big, I take two times as long cutting his head. Thank goodness he's balding. He's... Are we good so far?
No, we're good so far. Okay. Keep going.
Do you want to punch me yet?
No, not at all. Everything's been true.
Luckily, I'm the one that ends up cutting his hair. Mm. So Zach, he looks like one of the children of the damned and children of the corn grew up, made a baby, and that baby was Zach. Speaking of babies, his face looks like someone swapped a Viking and a little castrato choir boy. You have a baby face.
Okay.
You know this, right?
I know.
Okay. He hates his own skin, obviously. He's completely covered it in bad ink.
Yeah, someone's been.
I can't blame him, though. I would want to cover myself if I had the skin of a baby cherub. Maybe he thought altering the pigments in his skin, it would create some kind of artificial melanin effect that would allow him to go outside and enjoy the sunlight like all the other normal people. He listens to Limp Bizkit.
Do not! I put my foot down on that.
He listens to Limp Bizkit and genuinely enjoys it.
They weren't terrible, they weren't great, but do not listen to them.
He has horrible taste in music, but I don't blame him for that. That's just what happens when you are raised in the outskirts of Helen, Georgia.
Yep. That is what happens.
Mind you, Helen itself is an outskirt. So he was raised in an outskirt of an outskirt. They have nothing to do except listen to bad music and tattoo each other out there. And this is where it gets inspiring. But he was going to get out. He was going to escape the trap of the rural doldrums of Georgia. God, I'm drunk. He was going to make a name for himself. He was not going to let himself continue the cycle of blue-collar poverty. He chose a better life. He worked his ass off and worked his way up at a huge international tractor business and traveled far across the land with this company because he was just that good. Then he earned himself a scholarship from that tractor company to go to college. Not just any college, mind you. One of the greatest tech and engineering colleges in the world, Georgia Tech. And then he dropped out to do hair.
That story's so wrong.
Is it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Becky.
Yeah, thanks, Becky.
But I have had the pleasure of working next to him for the last few years, sharing a few great stories, and that's what brought us here. I think we've culminated not just a work friendship, but maybe, dare I say, a real friendship.
A real friendship, absolutely.
And yes, like you mentioned, sometimes our paths may crash.
It's a podcast that gets with your hands.
But, you know, I think I kind of figured out the other day. I think it's just we're both part of clashing generations. We're like both on the cusp.
Cusp.
Right. Like you act like you're old.
Yes.
Like you're like 50 years old at least. Like you're part of the golden generation. What is it?
I don't even know. The baby boomers?
The baby boomers. Yeah, you act like you're a baby boomer. You're really what? Generation X?
I am most likely. 82.
Okay, 82. I am kind of on the forefront of the millennials, the Peter Pan generation. And I think we both kind of represent a little bit of each of the generations that we come from, but I think that we're also able to come together just enough. To where that we can have a constructive conversation.
I agree with that.
Awesome.
But now I really regret just calling you Snail Trails. I was like, yeah, I got him.
I told you, man. I said, bring it. I said, you got to
bring
it.
Well, I mean, I had the pleasure in Chris's, infancy of hairdressing. Was our old shop the first salon you ever worked at? Or did you do hair before that?
I did.
You did hair before that?
Yeah. Wow. I did do hair a couple of years. Or no, sorry. I apprenticed at a shop for 2 years before mentioned.
All right. Well, I was one of his educators at our old salon, and we would always argue about who had to go teach Chris because you're going to be there all night long. Yeah.
What?
Those Tuesday nights, I'm like, no, don't send me there. Don't send me everyone.
Really?
Everybody.
Oh my
so,
God.
I mean, that's as mean as I can get, but...
That's not mean, though.
No, I know. Well, I mean, I didn't want to go teach you. That's kind of mean. Not that I'm saying you learned anything from me, but I'm just saying...
I did learn.
But my,
yeah,
my
I learned
role was...
a lot of what to do and a lot... mostly what not to do.
Yeah, there you go. What not to do.
JK. Zach was a great teacher.
Thank you.
Still a great teacher in life. Still learning how to grow up. To be a man from Zach sometimes.
And I'm still trying to learn how to cut hair.
Okay, so that was it for introductions. I actually also wanted to add, this is a good break room.
It's a great break room. It's huge.
I don't want to sound like
no. When we're everything talking was bad no, they, I mean, obviously we love the salon we work in. I mean,
yes.
And I was joking. I mean, it is salmon.
Yeah.
But it's a great break room, great salon. Great atmosphere.
You kind of blend in.
Yeah, I'm like...
kind of camouflaged.
Like a peachy... Good thing my shirt's so tight.
I think that's why you're salmon, is because it's keeping the blood in your face.
I don't know.
It's a compression shirt.
It's a compression shirt. It's like a Spanx from Target.
But no, yeah, I was going to share a story about one of the salons that we can't or won't mention. But this break room is a great break room.
Yes.
Compared to some of the places that we had worked.
Yes.
And it reminded me of... a time in one of the salons that I used to work in that we won't name. I think we should name it. Should we name it?
I don't know. I mean, maybe later. Continue.
Rhymes with macaroni and pie. Okay, so we had an issue with roach infestation.
Oh, yeah?
Did y'all not have that?
No.
Because... we were located close to a restaurant. Ish.
I mean,
that's what the excuse was.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, that's I would be out of breath getting to it, so, but that could be next door.
So I remember we complained to the owner. Dude, we have a roach problem. Please do something about it. And nothing was being done. Until finally, one day, came in, took a stool in the back room, picked it up, and someone said, like, you do this, this will happen. And I was like, no way. I picked the stool up, slammed it on the ground. Roaches fell out of the chair.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
So gross.
So, after that, we got it fixed. But it had to get to that point.
Right. Well, and it was a super tiny-ass break room.
It was so tiny.
Was so tiny. Like, three people, you're crammed. You're eating your food on a trash can.
Well, I was going to say, space. That was one of the chairs, was the trash can.
And what... I'm going to say Becky's name, right?
Yeah.
She'll
be a guest.
Yeah, Becky's going to be a guest. Uh-huh. What, you know, and what struck me is whenever we were coming here was, you know, I was one of the you know, there's 11, 12 of us that came here when it opened. We were looking at, this is the shopping center, trendy little hip shopping center in Georgia, and hip as Georgia can be. And
hip.
We were the first tenant in this space, so it was just this long rectangle, and Becky was going through different designs of the way the shop would be laid out, and she showed me and one of her old colleagues who did leave, change careers, her office is tiny, and then we have this really big break room, and I thought that was funny because the shop that we came from had a tiny ass break room where, you know, 15 people were supposed to be, and they had a giant office where said owner sat in. So that's when I was like, okay, I'm making the right decision to leave and do a new place.
That office was bigger than my bedroom.
Dude, it was huge. It was way bigger than this break room, but it was silly. Like, he had to eat his little, you know, salmon every day there.
Oh my God. I cannot wait to have Zach, the other Zach, little Zach, on, because he has a story or two about that break room, or about the office room.
Did you work at that store?
He did.
I didn't know. He was after me.
Yeah, the one where he kept the pictures of his likeness up.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was it. And if I ever do open a salon... I am going to take a team photo of opening day, but guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be in the back. I'm going to be somewhere. I'm not going to be up front, sitting down. The only one sitting down. With everyone, all my minions, as he called us, around him.
Oh, my God. I really hope we get him on.
Yeah. I mean, I have no hard feelings.
I want him on. I want to hear his side of the story.
All right.
By the way, not worthy. It's a very good beer.
And so was Dirty Beaches.
How was it?
It was very good. What? You should try it next. Oh, what was it?
Right,
I don't know. It doesn't even say. Like, it's IPA-y, you know. It's a tropical wheat. 6.3.
Tropical
alcohol.
Wheat. Hence the beautiful floral pattern on the outside of the can.
Just try it. It'll sell itself.
All right. Thank you so much, Scofflaw, for believing in us. Honestly,
sponsorship ended.
Right. Luckily, we got a 24 pack, so that's at least like four shows.
Absolutely.
Honestly, though, the guy who gave us the beer and the owner, they have no idea what we are. I told him we were a podcast about hairdressing.
And they're like, just here, take this.
They
get
just
out of
gave
here.
It to me, and they're like, okay, cool, tight, whatever.
So sponsorship doesn't sound as cool anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they'll ever listen to it. But if
no,
they do.
I mean, and that, oh, I'm glad you said that. Because I was, you know, using the Google because I'm old man Zach, and it depends on what website you're looking at, but I was looking at one that said that there are currently 1 million licensed hairdressers, and if you count just lapsed, because this is just, we just renewed in March.
1 million means there's like probably 1.5 million.
Well, there was another million apparently that didn't renew. They're up to 2 million hairdressers still cutting hair. So, I don't know. I think it'd be... It's such a big industry that... When I tell someone I cut hair, I think they think less of me. It always rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like that too, because I did come from a small town, like Chris said. And there was one barbershop and like 1,000 beauty shops, as they call them. And... when I would go to the barbershop, I was trying to grow my hair out or something, and I'm like trying to tell him what I want, and before I could even finish talking, he's already got the clippers on my head. And so my mom actually ended up taking me to her beauty salon, and that was the first place I actually got like a mediocre haircut, and it made me feel much better. And then, you know, I was like, okay, well, obviously I care about what I look like. I used to care what I looked like. So I went seeking for, you know, a better haircut, as silly as it may sound. And that...
Surprised right now.
What?
Just from that.
But sorry. No, I'm just saying, like, when I got my first, like, good haircut, it really did change something. Like, coming from the area that I was and how cool I thought I was, and it wasn't meeting up until I finally got a good haircut. So, and that's actually what kind of sparked my interest in it. And as I like to know how things work. The before mentioned previous salon is where I went, got a haircut, macaroni and what?
Pie.
They had breakdowns in the back of their books up front, and I would just sit and read them, and I thought it looked interesting. And then, you know, Becky used to do my hair. I used to get my hair colored, and Becky would do my color. I would always be reading the back of the books, and she's like, "Hey, man, you should do hair." And I remember I made some snide comment about, because I was making decent money.
So you were reading the back.
Yeah, were the breakdowns of like the haircut breakdowns
before you were ever even involved.
No, I would look at the photos and the, you know, lookbook or whatever you want to call it, but they always had the breakdowns, and I would always look at the haircuts, and I thought it was interesting and cool. You know, very technical. So, and as I think I am, I don't do 2-hour haircuts like some, but I got to make a dollar, and. I was always looking at him in her chair, and, you know, she was always pulling, like, weld slag out of my hair and stuff, because I was in a factory. And she's like, "What the hell do you do?" And I was like, "You know, I build tractors." And she's just like, "You should quit that and do hair." And I just laughed at her, and I was like, "I got to make money. You know, I have a daughter." And she laughed back at me and showed me her paycheck, and she actually made more money than I did. And so that's kind of where...
Really? Even at Macaroni and Pie?
Macaroni and Pie. You know, she did extras, and...
Wow.
She's always been booked, you know, like she's always been a very busy colorist, and, you know, I was like, all right, cool. So I found a school and went for it, and I'm very happy I didn't. Like I said, it's been 14 or 15 years, terrible with dates, but at least.
You are.
Oh, horrible.
I remember like last year, you couldn't remember how old you were.
Yeah.
When it was your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was because I skipped a year. Like, I think I skipped...
What do you mean you skipped a year? What does that
mean? I thought I was 31, but I was 32. And then on my 33rd birthday, I thought I was 32. So I skipped my whole 32nd birthday. And when I told someone I was 32, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, me too, 83 or 84, whatever it was." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm 82. I'm like,
And they're like, "Oh."
No, that doesn't add up. And I was like, "Oh, all right." So that's how I missed a year, but no. I'm terrible with dates, but...
Maybe it's like the beautiful mind kind of thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
Are you really bad at certain things?
Most things.
You're very sociable.
Very. I can talk to anybody.
You can definitely talk.
But... loudly. Next to you.
Sometimes I have to provide a buffer space between my client and you.
Once I get going, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, because I you're a large man.
Yeah.
Well, with a large voice.
I'm 6'5", heavy, getting slimmer, don't worry. But,
so he says.
Oh, you'll see.
You'll see.
But, I don't know, I think coming from the old shop, where everything was very, sanitary, this is the best way I can say it, white, everything, chrome, 120 beats a minute, and a corporation on your shoulders where you couldn't really be yourself. So whenever we did come here, it was like, time to let go. And be myself.
Let loose.
Let loose.
And you let loose.
And I let loose. Yeah, so you get up. I get rowdy. I love talking shit. I love, the best hairdresser is not always the busiest hairdresser. But if you have a personality, I'm definitely not saying I have a personality to where people like me. But I'm just saying,
But
I think relationships are more important than... relationships are just as important as a quality haircut. Because you can be the most technical hairdresser on the planet and do a robotic-like bob on somebody and not have a personality that matches, they're not going to come back. So.
Is that a personal stab?
It kind of was, because you're the only one that gets...
I'm going to have to share that story eventually.
Oh, okay. I won't do it now then. I was saying, you're the only one that can get a review about being too good in a negative way.
Oh, no, I take that as a compliment. Thank you. I warned her. I warned all my clients in my bio.
Please go read
which
bio.
Has recently been taken down. It's not up. Yeah.
I wouldn't get it.
They didn't like it.
I liked it.
I thought it was great. Thank you.
I wouldn't say great. I thought it was funny.
Dude, those are the... If someone reads that... And they appreciate it, and then they come to me still after reading that?
Yeah.
That's the kind of client I want.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But there might only be four of those people.
Hey, quality over quantity.
Right, so whenever we get to that episode, maybe you can share what your bio said. Because it was hilarious.
We'll definitely share that. Now, my client stories definitely are not... They pale in comparison to yours. So, I only have like two or three stories that are decent. Yours are epic.
I mean, I've had some... Well, okay, so I have always been very personable, and I do care. I care about everyone that sits in my chair, and I want to get to know them, and much more than I want square layers, or... I want a classic bob or a graduated bob or something like that. So once we get the initial consultation out of the way, I get personal. not just like, oh, what do you do? Or something like that.
Tell your deepest, darkest secrets.
What are your fears? And so in doing that, you definitely... Because a lot of people love talking about themselves, obviously, because I'm still talking about myself. But
I mean, you have to. It'd be awkward.
Right. Because it'd be so much of silence right now. But people like talking about themselves, and that's a good thing, because we spend much of our days not. And when someone asks you a question that's thought-provoking or just anything about yourself, they start going, and then sometimes they cross a line and just keep fucking going. So that's where that's where the good stories start. So yeah, I know my first one, the craziest experience I've ever had, will be probably the next episode, right?
I was thinking, why don't we just go ahead and do it?
All right.
Okay. So we'll each do one story.
All right.
Just to give them a little sampler.
Go for it.
Yeah, we'll start with the weaker.
Right. And we can cut a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because there has been a lot of...
Could possibly even make two or three episodes
right.
of this. Okay. So, my stories, like I said, are nothing like Zach's. Because, I like to keep... a certain element of space between myself and my clients. I love my clients, and many of my clients know this. But to be let into my inner circle is much more difficult than I think Zach's.
Absolutely. I've known you for 9 years. I'm finally in your inner circle. So keep coming back, clients. You might get there one day.
Maybe in like 8 or 9 years. Although, I think we're gonna get pretty intimate on this podcast.
I'm not gonna get that intimate.
Not you?
No.
Okay, I'm getting pretty intimate.
Go for it.
Okay, for me at least.
No, I'm just saying because I'm always an open book.
I was gonna say, yeah. I think my intimate. And your intimate. Okay. So my stories, are nothing like Zach's. I can already tell you that now, but I'll go ahead and give you my best, and I don't know why I'm like preluding my story. I'm drunk. Okay, I'll edit that out. Okay, so we'll call this the tale of Sugar Baby. So it was at Macaroni and Pie. And so I've been on the floor for, you know, a couple of years. At this point, I think I was maybe salon director. Yeah.
Nice. So I didn't know you were ever a salon director.
Well, I mean, by default.
Okay.
I think everyone had left or been fired.
Hey, take it how you can get it. Right?
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's how the place works. Am I not right?
It is.
All right. Okay. So, as long as you stick around long enough, you will become salon director at Macaroni and Pie. Oh, that sounds so bad.
It does.
Yeah. I don't mean that in a negative way, but if you can stick around for a couple of years, you'll work your way up and you'll have a full book. You'll be making good money at Macaroni and Pie. Okay, so, anywho, it was getting kind of late, about ready to close, as all crazy clients' stories seem to begin.
It's always the last of the day. It's
always that last walk-in. 8:45, we closed at 9, took our last client at 8. In walks Sugar Baby and Sugar Daddy.
Oh, now I understand the name. Okay.
Yes. At 8:45. So it's just me, maybe one other stylist and receptionist. And of course, the other stylist is not planning on sticking around past closing. So I take ownership and say, you know what? I will do your haircut. We bring it back, sit her in my chair. She points up at the picture on the wall.
Yep.
That is in our collection that we, all stylists at the salon, know very well. If they're on the floor, they know this haircut because they've done it many, many multiple times. They've studied it front and back. They've tested out on it with someone from the art team that has studied this haircut with the people that filmed the actual haircut in the picture. So we can't understand this haircut anymore unless we actually did the haircut in the poster ourselves.
Yes.
We know this haircut.
Yes.
We can do it in our sleep and with our eyes closed. Okay? I tested out on this haircut. I knew this haircut.
I know you did.
Okay. It took me a couple times, but
I never failed one.
Oh my god. You just had to throw that in there.
I'm just saying. Anyways, sorry. Continue.
I'm a bit of a rule breaker. What can I say? So she sits in my chair. She points at the poster of the haircut that I know almost better than any haircut that I've ever done.
It's a good haircut.
It's a great haircut. At the time, it would have been called the Pob, the Posh Bob. It was the most closely related haircut to the Posh Bob, because the collection and the Pob came out kind of around the same time.
Very similar times.
Yeah. So it was a very popular haircut. That's the way these collections worked. They base them off of current trends. I say, cool, I got it. The problem with the picture is you only saw it from the front.
Yes.
She didn't see the back.
Gotcha. Roger.
Anyone that knows the Pob, the Posh Bob, knows it is incredibly stacked.
Oh, I hate that word.
It's the best way to say it. Oh,
graduated.
Super graduated?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But
high graduation?
Well, everyone says stacked. I mean, no, I'm just saying I just hate it. We're like, I want it stacked.
Stacked. Yeah.
Ugh.
So here's the problem, is if it's not done right, it goes from Pob to Cake Plus 8 very quickly.
Very quickly. Some would say immediately.
Some would say it's pretty much just that.
Just the person, the model is what separates
the wearer.
The wearer.
Yeah. Okay, I would definitely say that. She was definitely Kate Plus 8.
All right.
I'll go ahead and preface it with that. But I wanted to do my best to make sure that she represented this haircut well. So sits down, points at the haircut. I say, I got it. Now, this is before I knew always double check.
Always double check.
Especially if they're taking off.
Lots of hair.
Lots of hair.
Oh.
Her hair was past the collarbone.
Yeah.
I should have double checked.
Should have double checked.
That was my mistake.
Yeah.
I'm willing to admit. I did the haircut.
But she sees the picture. But it's over her shoulders. In the photo.
Yes. I got it.
Yep.
Cool. I get halfway through. She starts laughing. I'm like, oh, what's so funny? She's like, oh, it's shorter than I expected. Oh. Okay.
Do your eyes work? Because the photo?
Yeah. But okay, well, you know, no big deal. I guess I'll keep going. I keep cutting. And she starts crying.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, at this point, I can't stop because I've done half of it. So, do you want me to keep going? All right, I keep going. Now it's awkward. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to make some kind of conversation. So.
Your strong suit.
So, anywho, I say, so, the guy, who'd you come in with? This is before I knew.
Right.
I'm like, oh, so, you know, you're with your guy, you know, what are y'all up to? Where'd y'all meet? She says, oh, sugardaddy.com. And I thought she was joking, but I wasn't sure.
That's
so,
a thing?
Right. So I was like, okay, go with it, you know. We'll delve further. So I'm like, ah, oh, funny, you know, I've always wanted a sugar mama, you know. And she's like, oh yeah, it's great because they pay for everything. He's paying for this haircut. Just go on sugardaddy.com and you can find whatever you want.
Classy.
Yeah. Well, that's getting soft.
Yeah.
So I don't really know where to pick up the conversation.
Well, we were
from
in
there.
The point where.
No, I mean, I remember where we were.
Sorry, I was like, oh, did you forget?
I just mean, I don't know.
Ah, gotcha.
Where do you take the conversation
right.
with someone like that?
Yeah, no. I mean, there's no talking to her.
So I was like, all right, I'm just going to finish the haircut. Be done. So, finish the haircut. And she says, okay, you know, oh, you know.
This is what I have
now.
It
is actually. It's the picture.
It's the picture.
She realized. Oh,
right.
It's the picture. I just saw the front. I didn't see the back. And, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night.
Well, first of all, I'm calling bullshit on that. Because you started at 8:45. Then there was no way it was 10 o'clock. It had to be 11.
Ten-ish. Anyways. So they pay. Receptionist rings them up. Poor receptionist.
Yeah.
And they leave. And I was like, okay, awesome. Well, the next day, which was a Saturday, a busy day, she walks in with her sugar daddy, and she says, I want my haircut fixed, because this is not what I asked for. And so, no, I was not the salon director at this time. I was assistant salon director.
Gotcha.
Steven was salon director. So, of course, any redos or someone coming back goes to the salon director, which was Steven at the time.
Yep.
A great, talented hairdresser.
Very nice.
So, Steven takes her back, sits her in the chair, runs his comb through it for about a minute and says, the haircut's perfect.
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
There's nothing I can do to improve.
Was she still pointing at the photo? Like, she's like, I wanted that.
Oh, yeah, she knew. Yeah. Everyone knew. And she gets up, huffs and puffs, stomps her way out. Her and her daddy off into the sunset. And an hour later, she comes back and says, I just want you to know that I had to go to a salon across the street to get this thing fixed. And what do you say to that? So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy for you. And she turns around. And I swear to you, it looked like she did it herself. It looked like she went to Walmart. She got a set of clippers. With no guard.
Yeah.
And just hacked. Hacked herself.
But very well could have went to a salon across the street in that area.
Could have. Well, she said she went to a reputable salon across the street, and I can't imagine this salon, the one, you know what I'm talking about? I can't imagine them doing this kind of job. And it, I mean, it was lined up with a pair of edgers at the bottom,
right?
The hairline, and it wasn't even lined.
So like, she
it
was went like brick from lane.
Something pretty
posh
good.
To Kate plus
she
eight.
She went from posh to Kate plus eight.
And then was happy with it.
That's
because
what
she came back and told you how happy she was.
Yeah. That's what she wanted the whole time.
Ugh.
And, you know, it's funny. It's really funny because this was probably in like 2010, 2011. This was before the can I speak to your manager haircut meme.
Everyone had seen that.
That was the haircut.
Was it the girl?
It could have been.
Oh, that would be great if you started that meme.
I wish. But that was the haircut. there's some factual basis.
The shotgun blast.
Yeah. The shotgun blast.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Because I still get it sometimes.
Yeah, there's a reason.
I don't know.
Okay, so that's my story. Zach?
Oh, my story time?
I'm glad I went first, because there's way better.
All right. So, the absolute craziest client experience I've ever had came Christmas Eve Eve. So, the day before Christmas Eve. Like I said, terrible with dates. 7-8 years ago, you know, we're fully booked in the shop because it's Christmas time, so everybody's busy. And the receptionist Maggie, who I've already, you know, talked to her about, you know, telling the story, and I actually cut her hair the other day, and I asked her if she remembered it, and she did, so that's hilarious. But the front desk salon coordinator, her name was Maggie, came and got me, and she's like, "Hey, there's a lady on the phone." And she's really upset because she waited till the last minute to come get her hair cut or to get her hair done. And it's the holidays, and she's away from home on the holidays, and she's upset. And so she came to me, because I won't say no, would you squeeze her in? And I told Maggie, as long as she would prepay and let the receptionist leave, I can close up the shop and cut her at 9 o'clock. So closing the shop down, everybody's gone, just me and her. So, like you were saying, it's always those last clients.
Always.
And we hit it off, and it's almost like I felt a little freedom because I was the only one in there, and I could actually be myself, kind of like you see me every day. But so it was like I'm talking to her, and I found out she's from Boston, and she's down here working at a college integrating some computer system. and she's upset not being home for the holidays, and she's working a lot, and you know, I'm just relating about you know life, and maybe I mentioned something about my ex-wife or something like that, and it just, I saw her like perk up, and she's like, "I'm my husband's fourth wife." And I make some stupid joke about, you know, fourth time's a charm. And she's like, she's getting really personal with me. She's like, "Do you still talk to your ex-wife?" And I'm like, "Well, I have to. I work with her." Oh, yeah, she was a hairdresser, too. And I was like, "Does your husband talk to his ex-wives?" And she's like, "Well, yeah, and it bothers me." I'm like, "Should I tell him it bothers me?" I'm like, "Well, absolutely. If it bothers you, you know, you should tell him." And she's like, "Well, it's not necessarily the talking to them that bothered me. It's the fact that we live like 3 and 4 doors down from 2 of his ex-wives. And that every time I cook a meal, he takes one of them leftovers." And I would look at her and I'm like, and she's like, "Would that bother you?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm a pretty jealous person. That would definitely bother me. You know, you should probably tell him that it bothers you." She's like, "Well, I did." And he kept doing it. And I was like, "Oh." And then all of a sudden, this wash of crazy comes across her eyes. And she starts laughing like she's a fucking villain in a movie.
Cruella de Vil.
Cruella de Vil. And they're all Dalmatians. Because she's like, "That's why..." During laughing, mind you, like a crazy person. She's like, "That's why... I started... poisoning... the leftovers." And I go, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, with strychnine." I go, "Are you kidding me?" And she's like, "Yeah." And she's still laughing. And she's like, and she can't figure out why she's throwing up all the time and her hair's falling out. First time I've ever met this woman. Tells me she's trying to murder someone. So I shut down after that. I finish her haircut, probably without saying another word. Send her on her way. I call the old owner, or the owner of the old place, asking him what I'm supposed to do. Like, "What should I do? This just happened." And he's like, "Meh." And I was like, he's like, "Do whatever you want." But, you know, I did call. I called, you know, I reported a possible poisoning homicide.
As any good citizen does. Right.
But mind you, it was the holidays, and they did not seem to care either. So I really hope nothing ever happened to said person. Not the victim, not the client, whatever. But but that's pretty crazy.
Wait, so, I mean, did you had her name?
Yeah, no, I gave them everything I had. I had name, number, and whatnot. So
did you ever follow up? Did you ever look her up?
No. Now, this is like, I mean, I got Facebook when I left that said place, so I never had like social media or anything. But so I didn't have access to, like, you know, I'm old man.
To look her up.
I didn't look her up. I didn't, you know, Google her or anything.
You don't have
her. I don't remember her name whatsoever. God. I couldn't even tell you what it started with. I asked Maggie if she could remember, and she remembered the incident, but she didn't remember the name. But yeah, I wouldn't say it on this freaking podcast if I didn't remember it,
right?
Because I'd be next.
But I would want to know.
I mean, I would.
Did totally she get away her. With it? You know, like, you never.
I mean,
heard
I
don't anything.
Know. I mean, well, I told the police, and they said they would look into it. But I don't have a lot of faith in how they were talking to me about it. But I mean, I just well, just like the first time I ever met this person. Like I said, we hit it off, and she felt confident enough to tell me that. That says a lot about the way I look.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But, no, it was not fun.
I would really like to know where that went. Maybe if anyone knows anyone that was poisoned by strychnine.
Right. But the thing that sucks is, like, I'm, like I said, terrible with dates. That could have been, we've been here 6.5 years. That could have been anywhere from 7.5 years ago to 10.5 years ago. I have no recollection of time. So I've often thought about, like, who do I still know at the old place? Like, go to that date in the computer system.
Would they have
that? She signed in.
No, I mean, like, would they have those records? Did they go that far back?
I mean, it's a computer program. I'm sure it does. I don't know. Maybe not. It's been forever. I'm old.
What is the likelihood that she was not telling the truth?
I mean, no. I mean, it's totally possible. I mean, I think that's what the police thought. That she was just talking shit. And...
But who would, like, lie about
it? And that? Joke about it. I don't know, but...
It would have to be true.
I'm going to go on a limb and say I believed it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I am me, and I did believe it. So, I mean, she, like I said, the crazy, like, we hit it off, and we were laughing, and just talking about everything, and then, like I said, I mentioned something about an ex, and she's like, oh, by the way, you know, and...
Oh, I have something to contribute.
Right, and then, like, it was in her eyes, like, it changed, that something was going on.
What else could you have said to trigger an awakened...
First of all, I didn't trigger her to do this, mind you.
Well, I mean, no, I'm just saying. You just triggered her memory. She was like, I have some way to relate to you.
I'm saying, don't blame me for this. No, it was already happening. Like,
what else has she done?
Oh, I have no idea.
Is she a repeat offender?
I don't know.
Where do you get strychnine?
You can get it anywhere, apparently.
Yeah?
Apparently. Like... You know, like
is
I said.
It, is it apparent, or are you...
I don't know. I've never ingested any, but...
Strychnine.
It's rat poison. That's what they use, apparently, because I went home and looked that up. Didn't know how to spell it, of course.
Right. I was going to say,
yeah. I spell it. I'm probably saying it wrong,
is
but...
It strict?
Strychnine?
Stricken.
Stricken.
Struck.
I don't know, but nonetheless, it's a rat poison. And I did look it up that ingestion causes vomiting and hair loss.
Wow, that's a pretty good.
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't have said that publicly, but I did everything I could do.
I mean, no names were named.
Well, no, yeah, no names were named, and I did.
Let me just make sure you know where all your food's coming from.
Yeah, don't take leftovers from an ex.
I think that is a pretty good first episode.
Yeah.
That's the idea, is we get together and we talk about our craziest client stories, and we can all commiserate in this happy place of the break room.
In the break room of Bespoke Salon.
All right.
No, I just hope we get our feet under ourselves and get a actual, a flow going. And I think it could be good. Like I said, there's at least 1 million licensed hairdressers. There's countless clients of those said hairdressers that would listen for humor, for inspiration, for commisery, like you said. Because one thing I did notice is, like, I'm on Instagram like everybody else, and I'm scrolling through and I follow a lot of hairdressers, and they take themselves so fucking seriously. It's too much, people.
Just like, hairdressing.
We're just cutting hair or coloring hair. Well, I just cut hair. I should clarify. I don't do any chemical services, but I just cut hair. I'm not solving, the national debt. I'm not doing brain surgery. I'm cutting hair. I'm having a good time, and I clearly don't take myself too seriously, and I think that. Especially a lot of the young people coming out of school or they're in a beauty school and they're looking at these people and they're like, oh, that's how you do it. And yes, they're very good at doing hair and they're very serious about doing hair. But I think if we all just relax a little bit and made it more fun, it'd be better. Like... I got out of a 9-to-5 to do this, and I work more now than I ever did, but I have more fun.
Yeah. Doesn't feel like work.
No, it definitely does not feel like work. I do enjoy it, But I see these people with 550,000 followers, and I'd like to see a census on that. But they're flashy. They're flipping their scissors. They're just, dry humping the air around them.
Cutting the same section 12 times.
12 times. And it's just like, it doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be, I don't even know what I'm looking for. But, I don't know. It irks me when I get on and I see things that just seem silly. To me, granted, old man Zach, that, I don't know.
So clearly Zach has a problem with other hairstylists.
Nope. Not at all. I respect all hairdressers that have stuck with it. Did you know, actually, I just looked this up too. The median income of a hairdresser. What do you think it is? The income. Yearly income. Median.
At least, I'd say 65.
Oh, okay. I would have thought that would be a good median too. $30,000 is one of the websites I looked at. They're saying like $14 an hour, $15 an hour. You can make a great living doing this. And first of all, I file all my taxes.
Of course. Both do.
I know you do.
Because we're both very honest.
Very honest people. And I want to buy another house. But
So you have to.
You have to have that income up. But I don't know. I just think that a lot of people can look into it. And like I did when I was young. When I looked into it when I was young, I thought you only did hair because you couldn't do anything else. That was my own ignorance. I never thought about it being a legitimate business. I never took hairdressing as a money-making lifestyle until I really looked into it. And I think there's a lot of young people, and maybe in beauty school, that could see that you only make $14 an hour and get discouraged that if you apply yourself and you really learn, obviously, education is key, and continuing your education, not just for your said state board, but like legitimately learning from different collections and stuff, you can make a great living, set your own schedule, and just be happy.
Travel. Listen to cool music.
You say cool music, I say noise.
Have bad tattoos. Bad
tattoos. You can have bad tattoos.
Bad hair. Facial hair.
Dude, we have the same facial hair.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, mine's thicker because I'm a man.
No, it's pretty long. Pretty scraggly.
Oh, well, I need
to... Okay. You have like a face filter.
A face filter?
Yeah.
No.
Like whatever you're drinking is getting filtered.
That's fine.
It's getting triple filtered. From your mustache.
That's how Scott Fall rolls. No, I don't know. I like what I do. And I just don't like feeling bad about doing what I do. So.
And you shouldn't.
Thanks, Christopher. Cutting out all the rambling shit.
And it's a good profession. That's why I got into it, you know? I would say I even had less decision making in the process of becoming a hairdresser. It's kind of in my blood.
Oh yeah, you're generational.
Third generation.
Look at you.
Yeah. But you know, I think a lot of it is genetic. Yeah. When I was in high school, I was trying to figure out what am I gonna do? And I had just started doing hair for fun because I had a horrible haircut from like a chop shop,
yeah,
as we call them. And so I started doing my own hair, and then my friends liked it, so I started doing their hair. And then the singer from my favorite band, 18 Visions, shout out to James Hart, inspired me to want to be a hairdresser, because I was like, oh, it can be cool, you know, I could be a musician and do hair, you know, oh, I can travel, I can make a decent living, I can have tattoos, same thing, you know, express myself creatively. That was a big part of it. And I knew that I was not cut out for the 9-to-5 cubicle life. I need something to constantly keep me on my feet and mentally stimulated. And maybe I was wrong, because I think corporate jobs have come a long way, but I knew I wanted something that I could have some fun with, and especially meeting new people, hearing new stories every day. That's I would say, probably the best part of our job.
Right. You know, we do the same thing every day, but it's never the same thing, you know? Like, if that makes any sense. Like, we are cutting hair, but it's never the same day.
Never the same
day. Same thing every day, never the same day. And I enjoy it. I really do.
Yeah. You're drunk too, aren't you?
I'm not drunk.
So
this one was stout.
Yeah, it was 8%.
8%.
Yeah.
That tattooed on.
We had one beer.
You had one beer.
We had one beer.
No, I had.
Oh, well,
I had two beers.
Might be. You're like twice my size.
We're the same height, dick.
Not even close.
Yeah, but still.
This is a place that we're going to bring hairdressers. It's going to be like sitting in the back room, talking about our craziest clients. It should be a safe space. And, you know, our demographic that we're aiming for is other hairdressers.
Of course.
Yeah. And, you know, some of our clients have mentioned that they'd be interested in listening. But I think who we're really aiming for are other hairdressers that just want to let a little bit of steam out and know that it's not just them that's having a bad day or having a crazy client.
Right, because everybody's had redos.
Everybody's
had off days.
Yeah.
Everybody's had the crazies. We want to hear about the crazies.
Yes. And, you know, we might even get around to some of the current affairs that are happening within the salon industry. And we might even do, I'm thinking we could do a few fun little kind of sketch comedies. I think we could have some fun with it.
Absolutely.
Got a few little ideas. My old sleeve. Anything else you want to say?
I think I've said enough.